Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
We're in the third week of the sermon series, Ears to Hear. Everyone say, ears to hear. Do you have ears to hear? In Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, those who have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. God speaks to His church through the Holy Spirit. And He wants to speak to you today through the Holy Spirit. But do you have ears to hear? Do you have spiritual ears? Can you hear what He's speaking to the church? If we don't, we won't be able to hear. And we won't know what He's doing on the earth today. We have to have ears to hear. Today we're going to be in Luke chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 11. We're going to read verses through 13. Jesus taught us a parable. But before we jump into the passage, give me a few moments to set the scene for you. The Bible says that Jesus was off praying in a distance. He was praying in a solitary place. He was praying in a private place. He was praying in a secret place, as He often did. Jesus was constantly spending time with the Father alone in prayer. And the Bible says that after He finished His prayer, the disciples came and found Him, and they asked Him one thing. They asked Jesus to teach them something. Now keep in mind, at this point, the disciples had already walked with Jesus for many years, and Jesus had already taught them many things. It's not like they were brand new students in a brand new class. Jesus had already taught them many things, things like preaching with power, personal evangelism, performing miracles, healing the blind, the lame, the sick, walking on water, turning water into wine, feeding 5,000 with a sack lunch, raising the dead. All classes that I would enroll for. Sign me up, Jesus. But the disciples came and asked Jesus to teach them something else. If you could sign up for a class with Jesus this morning, what would it be? Performing miracles? How many would sign up for the walking on water class? Let me see your hands. Come on. Put me on the internet. That would go viral. Pastor that can walk on water. How many would sign up for the turning water into wine class? You boozers. How about preaching with power? Personal evangelism? Performing miracles? But what about the boring prayer class? That's what my youth used to say. Anytime as a youth pastor I tried to get my youth to pray with me, they say, that's boring, PJ. And I know that some of you feel the same about prayer in here today. But the only way you feel that is because you don't truly understand prayer. Today I want to help you better understand prayer. The disciples said, Jesus, teach us to pray. The title of today's sermon is Pray Continually. Everyone say, pray continually. Okay, let's jump into the passage, Luke chapter 11, verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, say. And then He went on to quote what? The Lord's Prayer. Many of you have the Lord's Prayer memorized, right? So help me quote it. Our Father. Earth, as it is in heaven. Father, we ask that you would truly speak over the next 20 minutes. God, that you would speak in such a way that our hearts would be open to the voice of the Father. Father, draw us in to that secret place, that place that Jesus went and hid out at, to abide continually in your presence, to hear you speak. God, right here in this place today, I pray that it would become a secret place for each and every person, and that they would hear the Father speak a word of revelation, a word of conviction, a word of inspiration, a word of motivation, a word of transformation. God, deal with every heart, every mind, every person. Draw us closer to thy presence. Speak greater depths of revelation to our ears, God, as we grow in you, as we become more than just hearers, but as we become doers. We're ready. Our ears are wide open. Our hearts are ready to receive. Everyone say, speak, God. In your name, amen. Leonard Ravenhill said, if there was one prayer that the church should pray today, it would be, teach us to pray. Not how to pray, but to pray. See, think about it. The disciples knew how to pray. They grew up Jewish boys. They were Jews. They were immersed into the Jewish culture. They knew how to pray, and they didn't even ask Jesus to teach them how to pray. They said, Jesus, teach us to pray. There's a big difference. Jesus, or the disciples, said, teach us to pray. We know how to pray. We watch the religious leaders. We've heard them, the priests, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but yet it was those people that Jesus said, don't pray like them. He said, I want you to pray in a different way. Don't pray like those guys. They knew how to pray. Most of us in here know how to pray. If you know how to pray, raise your hand. Okay. Some of you don't, and that's okay. We would like to teach you how to pray. In fact, we're going to have a class, and Becky and Melinda will lead it. We'll call it the How to Pray class next week. You ready? How many would sign up? Be honest. That's awesome. Hey, something just happened. I think the Sharon might have a sign-up sheet on the welcome booth before the service is over. You're committed now. But most of us, many of us, know how to pray, right? But how many of us would say, yes, I know how to pray, but I don't pray as much as I should? I'll be the first to admit, I don't pray as much as I should. I don't pray as much as the Bible commands me to pray. Because the Bible commands me in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to never stop praying. Now, how many pray as much as the Bible commands you to pray? Another translation says, pray continually. The title of this sermon, pray continually. But praying continually doesn't mean constantly speaking. I said, praying continually does not mean constantly speaking. How many know people that are constantly speaking? Don't raise your hand, because it might be your spouse. It might be the person sitting beside you. I don't want anyone in trouble. Prayer is communication. And communication is two-way. It's speaking and listening. See, many marriages, many relationships fail and suffer because of the lack of two-way communication. Only one person is always speaking. No amens. It's a conversation. It's speaking and listening. But I want you to know the most important side of the conversation isn't speaking. It's listening. And all the husbands are thinking, amen, pastor. They just don't want to voice it. They don't want to get in trouble. But think about it. Which is more important, what we have to say to God or what God has to say to us? Come on. James 1:19 says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. If a few Christians could learn this verse. The voice says, listen. Open your ears. Don't you just love to say that to your kids? Open your ears, boy. How many's ever said that to someone? Come on, every coach and every teacher, every parent, open your ears and harness, this is the passion or the voice. It says, harness your desire to speak. It's almost like when he said somewhere else, taming the tongue. But that's a hard thing to do, especially when you feel like you got to say something. Right? You've got to get it off your chest. How many times after you do that, you feel like so low? It's like you were burning with anger and hatred and desire, wrong desires to just spew that all over the person. But 10 minutes later, you're like, ah, oh, I wish I wouldn't have. I wish I wouldn't have said that. If I would have just learned to tame my tongue. The Amplified says, let everyone be quick to hear. Be a careful, thoughtful listener. Slow to speak. A speaker of carefully chosen words. If we could all apply that to our lives. Can we try starting today? Listen thoughtfully and carefully before we speak carelessly. This verse is referring to communication and conversation, but actually applies to prayer. We need to speak less and listen more. If we could all do less speaking and more listening, every relationship in our lives would be better. Every single relationship, your marriage relationship, your friends, your relationship with God, your relationship with your mother, teenagers, your relationship with your father, every relationship will be better if we spoke less and listened more. When we take time to listen, we hear the other person's heart. And the only way you can hear someone is to listen to someone. Husbands, you can't hear what your wives are saying if you're doing all the talking. And all the husbands know, I really wanted to address that statement to the wives. You cannot hear what God is saying if you're doing all the talking. Speak less, listen more. And hearing what God is saying is so much more important than God hearing what we've got to say. Most people think of prayer as just talking to God, presenting their requests and their needs to God, and that's a part of prayer, but there's so much more to prayer. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, that God already knows your needs before you ask. God already knows your desires. He already knows what's giving you a headache today, what's worrying you. He already knows before you even ask. And not only does he already know your needs, he knows you. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows your desires. He knows your needs. He knows you. See, prayer isn't about God getting to know you because he already knows you. Prayer is about you getting to know God. God wants you to know him the same way that he knows you. He wants you to know his heart. He wants you to know his thoughts. He wants you to know his mind. He wants you to know his ways and his will, He wants you to know Him. Speak less and listen more. Prayer is about getting to know God. Through prayer, we get to know Him. Through prayer, He reveals His heart and His plans for our lives. Point number one, prayer isn't telling God our plans. It's God telling us His. I said, prayer isn't telling God your plans. It's God telling you His. Woody Allen said, if you want to make God laugh, tell Him your plans. How many times have you given God a good belly laugh? Come on, some of you are making God laugh Himself silly today by telling Him what you're about to do. This is what I'm doing. This is where I'm going. This is what I'm called to do. I'm not called. That's too low of me. This is what I'm doing, God. Listen, if it's contrary to the Word of God, it's not God. If it's contrary to the voice of God, it's not God. If it's contrary to that little, still, small voice that speaks to you and says, no, don't do it, that's not of God. That's you. How many times have you heard someone say, God told me to do this, and you can look at it and realize without even spending any time on it, it's not of God. If it's taking you away from the will of God, it's not of God. It's you. It's not thy will be done. It's my will be done. Prayer is more about having ears to hear than a mouth to speak. It's more about listening than speaking. Or can I say it rudely? Sometimes we need to just shut up and listen. Now, how many of you have ever wanted to say that to somebody? We'll get so much more out of prayer by listening. We get answers. We get direction. We get wisdom. We get confirmation. We get God's will and God's way. Matthew 6:7, Jesus said, when you pray, don't babble. Too many babbling Christians. Don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. And then in Luke chapter 5, it says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. This word lonely simply means a place to be alone. A secret place, a solitary place, a private place, free from distractions. But more importantly, free from the disciples. Free from people. Jesus said in Matthew 6:6 to find a secret place to pray. Jesus had His secret places. And He had His secret times. In Mark chapter 1 verse 35, it says that He got up early in the morning, secret time. And He found a solitary place to pray. That word solitary means private. It means secret. Jesus had secret times and secret places where He prayed. But then in verse 36, Mark 1:36, it says that the disciples were searching for Jesus. What was Jesus doing in verse 35? He was in a solitary place praying, but the disciples were seeking Him out. And then in verse 37, it says they found Him in the secret place. And you know what they told Him? They said, Jesus, everyone is looking for You. Not just them, but everyone. Think about it. Everything is looking to distract you and to keep you from praying. Everything. You have to find a secret place and a secret time to pray. It's just like the disciples were seeking Jesus out. I mean, think about it. Here he is trying to spend some alone time with the Father, all alone in prayer, and the disciples are seeking him out. How many stay-at-home moms can relate? You've got to find a secret place. If you don't, your kids will find you and distract you, just like the disciples. But not only do you have to have a secret place, you've got to have a secret time. You've got to get up before they do. Unfortunately, like Jesus did, early in the morning, which seems so ungodly to people that aren't morning people. You've got to have a secret place and a secret time, or you will be distracted. Have you ever tried to read or pray in a crowded room with lots of noise? It's hard to do. It's hard to concentrate. Or as my mom said, I can't even hear myself. Think, boy. Be quiet. But think about this. Trying to pick out one voice in a room with many voices. That's very hard to do. That's really, really hard to do unless you really know the voice. And that's why we must spend time in the secret place, in prayer with God, so that we learn his voice. We need to know his voice. It's in the secret place that you and I develop ears to hear. Point number two, God reveals his secrets in secret places. I said, God reveals secrets in secret places. In your secret time with him, he will reveal great revelation to you. Direction, wisdom, his love. Prayer is where we learn to discern God's voice. Come on, I need to say that again. I said, prayer is where you learn to discern God's voice. God knows your voice, whether you spend much time in prayer or not. He can pick your voice out of the room today. Even if the whole world was praying at the same time, he could pick your voice out because he knows your voice. But in the same way, God wants you to know his voice. He wants you to have ears to hear his voice so that he can share deep revelation, so that he can share his heart with you. Spending time in the secret place in prayer gives us ears to hear the Father's heart. It gives us ears to hear the Father's voice. No matter where we are, no matter where you're going, no matter what you're doing, spending time in the secret place gives you ears to hear. Now, how many of you would say, I need to find a secret place? I need to find a secret time. It takes discipline, and you have to be consistent with it. But what you consistently do will become a habit. But know this, everything will attack your discipline, your time in prayer, and your time with the Father. Everything will come against it to woo you away, to pull you away, so that you don't hear the deep revelations, so that you don't know the Father's heart, so that you don't know what he's doing, so that ultimately you can't get involved in what he's doing. So spending time in the secret place is where we get ears to hear. At some point, we have to be able to hear his voice above every voice, above the crowd, above the noise, above the lies of the enemy, above every voice that we hear. And through prayer, we develop ears to hear the Father speak. And it's when we hear him speak that we can truly speak. In fact, we shouldn't even be speaking if we're not hearing the Father speak, because we're speaking in our own initiative, in our own desires, in our own authority, which is fruitless, is in vain. So only when we hear the Father speak can we truly speak. And that's when we become his true messengers. John 14:10. The Bible says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not say on my own initiative or my own authority, but the Father abiding continually in me does his works. Wow. His attesting miracles and acts of power. See, it was only through abiding continually in the Father and the Father abiding continually in Jesus that he was able to do the things that he did, like walk on water, perform miracles, turn water into wine. It was only through abiding continually in the Father. Only way that Jesus was able to speak was by abiding continually in the Father. That's why his words had power, because he abided continually in the Father. Let's keep reading. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe me because of the very works themselves. Oh, hallelujah. Whatever he did attested of his abiding in the Father. Every work, every word, every healing, every miracle, feeding the 5,000, everything was through abiding in the Father. Verse 12, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in me as Savior will also do the things that I do. Come on. Jesus said by abiding in the Father that we would be able to do the things that he did. What things? Preaching with power, evangelism, healing the blind, the lame, the sick, raising the dead, feeding the 5,000 with a sack lunch, walking on water, and even turning water into wine for all of you crazy people. How can we do it? Through abiding. It's the only way. Abiding in the Father. Verse 13. Nope, let me go back to verse 12. I skipped a part. Not only will you do these things, but you will do even greater things than these. Because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name as my representative. This I will do so that the Father may be glorified and celebrated in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name as my representative, I will do it. Go home and read the whole chapter, John chapter 14. Jesus echoed the Father. But the only way that Jesus was able to echo the Father was through abiding continually in the Father. Jesus said, I continually abide in the Father, and the Father continually abides in me. So that's the only way that Jesus was able to do anything, through abiding continually in the Father. And this word continually carries the same meaning as the word continually in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray continually. Point number three. We can pray continually by abiding continually. The only way that we can pray continually is through abiding continually. I can continually pray without ever opening my mouth, church, because prayer is much more about what I'm hearing than what I'm saying. Listen, I can walk through Walmart praying continually and not look like a crazy person, because it's about what I'm hearing the Father say. It's about having ears to hear, and then when we have ears to hear, we develop eyes to see. Come on. And when you abide continually in the Father and you develop those ears to hear, you see what the Father wants you to see. People in need, people that are broken, salvations, people that need needs met, people that need you to abide continually in the Father. The only way that you and I, the only way that church can do what we're called to do is to abide continually in the Father, to abide continually in his presence, to abide continually in prayer. The only way that we can have an impact on this city, on the people that we surround, is by abiding continually in the Father. Because when we abide continually in the Father speaks, we hear, and we do. Ah! Through abiding continually, this city will be turned upside down for Jesus. Through abiding continually, your marriage will be restored in Jesus' name. By abiding continually, every relationship in your life might not work out the way you want it to, but God will somehow in some way restore it to what he wants it to be. Because every relationship that you've had doesn't need to be restored. Some are toxic. Some will destroy you. But when you develop ears to hear through abiding continually with the Father, you know what's best. Because the Father knows what's best. And the Father always wants what's best for his children. Doesn't mean it's always what we want, but it's what he wants. And that's what matters. Through abiding continually, I can drive down the road on Broadway praying continually. Not with my eyes closed, but listening. And even, I can be at peace in back-to-back traffic when everyone is throwing the finger and the horn and yelling. But I can be at complete peace because I'm abiding continually in the Father. Now bring that home. By abiding continually in the Father, whatever disagreement, whatever argument, whatever fight you're in, you can be at complete peace. And you can see what God wants you to see, and you can say what God wants you to say in that moment through abiding continually in the Father. Now, if you check out of Hotel Jesus and you decide not to abide in Jesus in that moment, you'll say a lot of things that you'll regret. And you'll hurt a lot of people, burn a lot of bridges, and tear down the work that God was doing. Stay with him. Stay with him at all times. When you feel flesh rise up, begin to pray. God, take me to the secret place. God, let me abide in your presence because I'm about to say something that's going to hurt someone, that's about to destroy someone, that's going to tear someone down, that I will regret 10 minutes from now. Abide in the Father. Stay-at-home moms, you can be pulled in 10 different directions where you used to want to pull your hair out, but by abiding continually in the Father, you can be at complete peace. And you can have that peace that passeth all understanding, that all the other moms don't understand how you're holding it together, but praise God you found the secret in the secret place. It's through abiding continually in the Father, you can hold it together. No matter what circumstances are falling apart in your life, is through abiding continually. There's no doubt that prayer was the source of Jesus' supernatural guidance and power. Jesus spent time in prayer. He prayed continually. But it wasn't all about him speaking. It was about what he was hearing the Father say. But he prayed continually. When the Holy Spirit descended upon him, when he was being baptized in the Jordan River, guess what he was doing? He was praying. Before choosing the 12 disciples, he spent the night in prayer. The whole night, because it was a weighty decision. Choosing leaders is hard. So he spent the whole night. Before his transfiguration, he climbed the mountain to pray. Before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he prayed. His final moments on this earth, Jesus spent a long time with the Father in the secret place praying. What did he do at the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper? He prayed. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he spent time in prayer. Such fervent prayer and zeal that he even sweat drops of blood. Can you imagine that kind of prayer life? But oh, the blood that washes away my sin. See, it wasn't just the blood that was spilled out. The blood began to be spilled out, poured out right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where it began, church, because in that garden, he said, not my will, but thine be done. If there's any other way, let it be done. But nevertheless, I submit. And through submission and surrender, he began to pour out his blood. And oh, the blood. There's power in the blood. Before he raised Lazarus from the dead, did I say that? He spent time in prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer. He continually prayed. Through prayer, he received wisdom from the Father. He received revelation from the Father. He received direction from the Father. And he received supernatural power from the Father by spending time in prayer. That's why so many Christians live powerless lives. Because we're not abiding. We're not spending time in the secret place where God pours out revelation, where he pours out his spirit and his power. It's through abiding continually that Jesus was able to do all the things that he did. And the disciples said, Jesus, teach us to pray. They were saying, Jesus, teach us to pray like you pray. Not like the Gentiles, not like everyone else, not like we were taught growing up. But teach us to pray how you pray, because we see something different when you pray. We see authority, we see power, we see miracles, we see things happening. Mountains being moved when you pray. And so what did Jesus do? He taught them the Lord's Prayer. And we quoted that earlier. But should only serve as a simple model and should never be the extent of our prayer life. But then Jesus taught them this parable. This parable was in response to the question, Jesus, teach us to pray. Verse 5, then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and for some of you, this is a great suppose. Suppose you have a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine who is on a journey has just come to visit me, and I have nothing to serve him. And from outside he answers, do not bother me, the door has already been shut, and my children are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. How many have that kind of friends? I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, just because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence and his boldness, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. Jesus taught them persistence. He taught them this parable for a purpose, for a reason. And notice that Jesus said because of persistence and boldness. And remember, Jesus is using this parable to teach them a lesson on what? Prayer. So because of their boldness and their persistence in prayer, Jesus didn't tell them how long the friend asked or how many times. He didn't tell us how long he knocked on the door. But persistence means continually. Persistence means continually. Matthew 7:7 in the Amplified says to ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Continually. Jesus is encouraging continually and persistent prayers. Even though he's the one that has to hear it over and over and over, he's encouraging us to be persistent, to not give up. Not just to keep asking, but to seek the Father through prayer so that we can hear what the Father wants us to hear. His answer, his direction, his wisdom, his guidance. God wants you to persevere through prayer, but it's for your sake, not his. If you think about it from a fleshly human standpoint, it will frustrate you. And it can lead to bitter thinking. How many has been there? God doesn't care about me. He doesn't hear me. He doesn't love me. He just wants me to suffer. He just wants to leave me here. Now, how many has ever been at that place? Come on, every single one of you, if you're a seasoned Christian. There's been times where I refused to pray because of bitter thinking. God doesn't care. He's not going to answer. He's left me all alone. He's left me to do this by myself. There's been times I didn't want to pray. Times that I gave up on prayer and I questioned God's faithfulness. How about you? Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, He's called the weeping prophet for a purpose and for a reason. He felt the same way that I have multiple times. Jeremiah 15:19, and I'm reading from the Amplified, says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord to Jeremiah, if you return and give up this mistaken tone of distrust." Think about it. Jeremiah had lost his trust in God and this despair. "Then I will give you again a settled place of quiet and safety. You can come on back in to the secret place if you'll leave that trust, that distrust at the door. If you'll leave that despair at the door, you can come back into the secret place. And you will be my minister. And if you separate the precious from the vile, cleansing your own heart from unworthy and unwarranted suspicions concerning God's faithfulness." How many of us have had some suspicions about the faithfulness of God? Come on, how many times, how many seasons? "And then you shall be my mouthpiece." If we never had to wait on God and He answered everything immediately, we wouldn't need faith, church. I said we wouldn't need faith. Hebrews 12:2 says that God is the author and the perfecter of our faith. That means that our faith begins with Him and is completed or perfected in Him. Your faith begins and ends in Him alone. Point number four, persisting is God's way of perfecting. Having you and causing you to persist in prayer is God's way of perfecting your faith. Waiting and persisting has a way of perfecting our faith. Think about it. While we're waiting on God to move, we either rely on Him more heavily or we walk away. We give up on Him. Think about Abraham. Persisting is God's way of perfecting. God promised Abraham and Sarah a child, right? They had to pray. They had to wait. And at one point, they even tried to take matters into their own hands and do it their way. They had a baby, but it was an Ishmael. Think about it. It wasn't Isaac. It wasn't the blessing. It wasn't the promise. It was ultimately a curse. Because they stepped out of abiding with the Father and started doing things their way, their timing, the way they wanted it to happen. But think about this. If you give birth to an Ishmael, you have to raise it. You have to parent it. You have to take care of it daily. What are you giving birth to that is not of God? Let me keep going. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus told a parable, a similar parable on persistent praying. Verse 1, "Now Jesus was telling the disciples a parable to make the point that at all times they ought to pray and not give up and lose heart." Jesus said, don't give up and don't lose heart, which is what happens most of the time when we're waiting on God. When we get tired of waiting, what do? We give up or we lose heart. How many have ever wanted to give up in the middle of a waiting season? How many have ever lost all faith and all trust and all hope in God while waiting on God? But Jesus concluded this parable with this statement. He said, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man returns, Jesus is referring to the second coming, if you didn't know. Which, by the way, Jesus is coming soon, church. Maranatha, Jesus is returning for His church. And so that's why it's so important for the church to have ears to hear in this day, in this age, so that we would know what Jesus is doing and when He is returning. He's coming back. but for a church that is spotless, without wrinkle, that has ears to hear, that are actively a part of the body of Christ, that are doing the work that He's called us to do. And many of us think that we're waiting on Him to return, but He's waiting on us to return, because He has a work to do, church. And until that work's done, we got to persist. We got to persevere. But the sooner we develop ears to hear, the sooner we'll develop the eyes to see, the hands to serve, and the work to be completed. God, give us ears to hear. God, eyes to see. Hands that will serve and do what You've called us to do. My question is, what kind of faith would Jesus find in this room today? What kind of faith would He find in the middle of my waiting season? What kind of faith will He find at the end of my waiting season? Anyone with seasoned faith knows that there will be seasons of waiting. And when we don't give up, we don't lose heart, no matter the frustration, no matter the disappointments, but we continue to pray and we continue to believe, our faith is being perfected. And remember, Jesus said, all you have to have is a mustard seed size of faith. When you have that little bit of faith and you don't let go of it, you can say unto thy mountains, be thou removed, and they'll be cast into the sea forevermore. And the mountain is whatever is before you. Persisting is God's way of perfecting. He's perfecting your faith. Persistent prayers lead us to the heart of the matter. It reveals what we really want. Do we want something or do we want someone? Consistent and persistent time in prayer deepens our relationship with the Father and causes us to examine our hearts. Do we want God's will or do we want our will? Do we want God's way or do we want our way? And listen, if it's not His will or His way, it would be wrong for a good father to do. In fact, it would be impossible for the Father to do. Jesus said, when you pray, pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's only when we pray in accordance to the will of the Father that it can be done, church. And I'm going to read 11 through 13 and I'm going to wrap this thing up. So if you could stand to your feet. Jesus concludes this parable with this. He said, let me ask you this. Do you know of any father who would give his son a snake on a plate when he asked for a serving of fish? Of course not. Do you know of any father who would give his daughter a spider when she asked for an egg? Of course not. If imperfect parents know how to lovingly take care of their children and give them what they need, how much more will the perfect Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit's fullness when His children ask Him? Our Heavenly Father loves us far more than our earthly fathers ever could. And our Heavenly Father can give us far more than our earthly fathers ever could. But He doesn't always give us what we want. He gives us what we need. He gives us what's best. And how many know that the Father knows what's best? Isaiah 55:8 says, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He knows what's best. So if you're in a season of waiting, He's perfecting your faith. But he knows what's best. If the Father says, wait, Deb, it's because he knows best. If the Father says, not now, Melinda, it's because he knows best. If the Father says, no, teenagers, it's because he knows best. If the Father says, it's not my will, it's not my time, it's not the way I want it to happen, it's because he knows best. Can we trust his best, though? Are we willing to trust his best? Or do we want to make it happen our way, in our time? Think about it. What do we want to produce? What do we want to give birth to? An Isaac or an Ishmael? The promise or the curse? Father, right now, you see every heart, every person in this place today. God, I pray that each and every person received a nugget, a deep word of revelation from you today, God. Somehow, in some way, at different levels, at different points, and different verses, and different illustrations. But that all of us would take that deep revelation and apply it to our lives. Father, if there's someone here waiting, I pray that you would give them a new hope. You would give them new faith. You would give them new trust in your faithfulness. And that, God, that they would hear beyond anything else that you know what's best and you want only what's best for them. And that you cause all things to work together. Not just for our good, but for your purpose to be fulfilled in and through our lives. So, Father, take the word that was planted. Give us the boldness, the wisdom, and the audacity, and the persistence to apply it. In your mighty name, if God spoke to you today, say amen.